I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Alex Harris. Alex works with businesses to design and develop high-converting lead generation, subscription, and e-commerce stores. Since 2000, Alex has created over 100 e-commerce stores. He also specializes in conversion rate optimization and designing landing pages. Alex is the author of Small Business, Big Money Online, a proven system to optimize e-commerce websites and increase internet profits. Alex, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
I wonder if we could start off by talking about why you went from being a designer to being an expert in designing for results.
Yeah, I got started on the web in the year 2000, and I literally had no choice. I didn't really know very much about direct marketing online, and when I first got started, my first corporate job, my first project was to create landing pages that drove traffic from email marketing. So as I was a designer doing Photoshop, Illustrator, a little bit of HTML and CSS, I started doing online web design, but I didn't even realize that I was doing direct marketing at the same time. And I never was like a branding designer or anything like that. I've always focused on basically creating landing pages, subscription services, building out funnels, and then eventually I turned that into doing more e-commerce work. So I quickly recognized that many people were creating website designs and making them pretty, but then through the dot-com boom and eventually through the recession, we would see these businesses, these companies go out of business. And it was because they weren't investing their time into converting their existing traffic. Everybody wants more traffic, they want better SEO results, and that's not the approach to do. You really should be focusing on converting your existing traffic. So I really carved out my niche online and started focusing mainly on that landing page design and e-commerce. And I really built up my business and started to be recognized as a conversion-focused web designer.
Right. So you recognized early on why people were creating websites, what their purpose was.
Yeah. And not from... because you know the company or the boards, they have a perspective of what they want to achieve with their website, and that's great. Of course, you have to have your business goals, but you don't want to really be designing your website for yourself. You're really designing it for your customer. So you really need to put yourself in your customer's shoes and then create an experience that really helps persuade them, show empathy to them. And that way, you can really get the best results from your conversion rates.
Right, because ultimately, your business is all about providing solutions to your customers. So why not demonstrate that as part of your web presence?
Yeah, absolutely. It makes total sense. And that's really the key to conversion optimization. That's really just a buzzword for making more money online, is to really understand your customers even better. You know, when someone goes to Google and they type in a certain search query, they have some type of problem that needs to be solved. And the page that they go to, the landing page or that search result, that page needs to solve the problem that they just put into that search query. So that's what basically, you know, landing pages and conversion funnels is all about.
So what are some of the questions you need to ask yourself, right? Since you do need to get inside the head of your customer, but you are not your customer. Right, you're the seller. So how do you? What are some tips you might be able to offer about how you get inside the head of the customer?
Oh, absolutely. Well, we can now use specific tools to actually accomplish this. But from a high level, we want to really, first of all, understand what the desired action that the user wants to take, and then we have to understand what our business goals are. What is the desired action that we want them to take? And then you have to kind of figure out the information that is missing in order for them to decide to take some type of action. And then start to prioritize that. Now, if you want to really get the voice of the customer, or you really want to gather this insight, you can use specific tools to do that. You know, a great tool to use is something like SurveyMonkey. Just sending out a survey to potentially as big a list as you possibly can to try to get 100 responses. So that way you can ask maybe 3 open-ended questions specifically about how you can make their lives better, what products and services can you potentially offer, and I'm kind of just making up some questions here, but if you can get 100 responses, you'll start to see patterns of language that they use on how they talk about your product or service, and then you can use that voice of the customer back into your marketing material.
Okay, so what you're doing is you're asking them to tell you what their challenges are, and then you're trying to address how you'd solve those challenges in your marketing language.
Yeah, we're actually coming up with different scenarios of observations of problems that may be causing your site not to convert. And that is our discovery process. And then once we extract all that information, the qualitative insight as we discussed through the surveys, we could also use usability tests and watch people go through the site to figure out where they're kind of struggling. That's that qualitative insight. Then we also want to use analytics, like quantitative data from like Google Analytics, to really pull out what the actual metrics and the numbers are. And then we use those 2 different aspects of insight to create a hypothesis.
So I wonder if you'd be willing to share an example or two of how that might work in real life, like somebody who might be all over the place or may not have a good handle on how the customer thinks, to a potential solution that works really well as one that will solve customers' problems and also drive business growth.
Yeah, so the way we approach every single new project is called our quick wins process. If you haven't optimized or changed your site up very much, there's probably a lot of opportunity for you for improvement, but you really need to figure out how to prioritize some of those changes. You don't want to do anything on assumptions. We do everything based on data. So we go through a quick win process. We want to understand where people are going on your website. Of course, people are probably visiting your homepage, but what are those top other 5 to 10 other pages that people are going on across your web pages? So we can use Google Analytics to figure that out, what your top traffic landing pages are. Then we want to figure out exactly what they're actually doing on those pages. So, you know, let's say one of your top blog posts is your most traffic page. So now we want to figure out exactly what they're doing on those that page to potentially not convert. You're not generating a lot of leads, so you want to increase your leads from that page. So we'll use tools like Hotjar or InspectLet or CrazyEgg to figure out heat maps and figure out where people are clicking on the page. If you have a form or a lead magnet, as they call it, on your sidebar and people aren't filling that out, you can see that in heat maps. People aren't clicking on the call to action button. So that tells us, oh, we have our top traffic page. We know what they're doing on this page. They're not doing what we want them to do, that this observation needs to be fixed. And then we can try to figure out why or why not. And we add like polls or surveys to the page. If you're on the page for a certain amount of time, we can actually pop open a survey and ask them, what's stopping you from taking this free download today? And you know, eventually you're gonna start to collect insight about that, and people will tell you what information is actually missing. And you can just start to make those type of tweaks on a page-by-page basis to generate more leads or generate more sales, whatever your objective is.
Mm-hmm. Would you be willing to share an example of a story where this has made a big difference for a company?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So majority of work that I've done in the last 6 months is a lot of e-commerce work. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a story about a particular e-commerce client that came to me towards the end of last year. Everybody likes to ramp up their e-commerce site right before the holidays, right before Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and that type of thing.
Right.
They came to me and they had just redesigned their entire site and they couldn't figure out why the site was actually converting less than the previous old design. Just because you make a new website redesign doesn't mean your sales are actually going to go up. In fact, if you make too many changes at once, your sales are actually going to go down. Now, this e-commerce site was selling organic food online. Very unique type of paleo food, One of their main products that they sell is bone broth, a very unique product for paleo, kind of CrossFit, people with, problems. Leaky gut is one of the main issues. So it's a very particular kind of product. And they knew that this was their best-selling product, but all we did was take a look at their e-commerce store to figure out how people were flowing from page to page to page. And what we found in analytics was their top page that people were going to was one page on the website. One page was making up 80% of their total traffic, and we started to look at the heat maps and watch people's mouse movements, and we found that people were getting very confused on the category page because it just so happens that the call to action button, the add to cart or the view options button, it just happened to be 2 or 3 inches, 200 pixels, below the fold. It was out of the view of the active window as soon as you loaded the page. And our observation, our hypothesis to improve this was all we were going to do is take the call to action buttons and move them up above the fold. So then we validate it using split testing. We test one page versus our experiment to prove our hypothesis, our educated guess. So we ran that test, and just by moving those buttons above the fold, increased their total amount of revenue by 30% instantly.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing how a little bit of analysis can go a long way.
Well, the proof really comes down to the research. If you do, I mean, I guess this is kind of science basics, but for me as a designer, it's kind of like, kind of all new to me. The more research you do, the better you understand your customers, how they're going through their site, what's going on through their minds, and start to really look at data to figure out exactly what's going on, the more of a foundation that you're going to have for success going forward.
Yeah, that's a remarkable story.
Thank you.
So one of the facets that we're talking about is understanding your customer, and you know, when you mention, as an example, surveying your audience, surveying through a list, one of the questions I have is, let's say your list is pretty small. What kinds of things can you do to grow your audience, even before their customers? Grow your list. As an example, you and I are both podcasters, so we have audiences. What are some of the things you can do to boost your audience before they become buyers?
You really want to try to figure out what the most important content is for them. A lot of times as business owners, we just assume that people want these business guides or things like that. So, you can really just ask your podcast listeners, what do they want to learn from you? And then build out guides based on what they say. Or we're on the show, go and you can even go to my website, alexdesigns.com/feedback. And, you can go, you can fill out my survey, and people will tell me what they want to learn from me. I even do it when I write my books. What do you want to learn from this book? But, as soon as you start to see that more people kind of want certain downloads and things like that, you can start to create specific content directly for them. Now, that's good to get started, but you want to, in order to gather someone's email address and get them onto your list, you need to provide something of extreme value and not overwhelm them with too much. Like, you don't need to create like a 20 or 30 page downloadable PDF. That's the wrong approach. I would create just a 1 or 2 page, very simple PDF that has something of extreme value and it's completely unique to you. That way, when they go to your website and on your sidebar and you see that picture of the book and you want to show it as a picture of a book because it creates tangible value. I want to actually get something for putting my email in. Then you want to, give that away. But the way you present it, the way you market it is essential. A lot of times you go to the page and the form area, you see the book and it says, download the best course, the best success, downloadable book, whatever it says. But it doesn't say anything about being free. It's not very clear what the overall insight of the value of the book that I'm going to get from it is. And then they usually have a call to action button that says either submit or register or sign up. Those are all actually negative call to actions. Like, I don't want to sign up for anything. I don't want to register. I don't want to submit. The best call to action that you can use in that case is free download. It says what it is. You click on it, you get the book. If people are reluctant to give their email address, you can even put some language. Tell us where to send it. So it's incentivizing them, the reason why you need their email address. Tell us where to send it, free download. That's really the best way to give away a PDF or a lead magnet. And then also, as you build content for your podcast, you may want to have what they call content upgrades. So as you go to a particular section, let's say, you know, someone's talking about, you know, getting through plateaus of medical school, and you have a blog post about that, maybe you have a one-page download that says the top 10 tips to get through, to smash your plateaus and get through medical school. So you're creating specific content that's directly relative to the page that they're on.
What are some examples of some of the free content that you've offered that have worked well for you?
Well, I do give away a lot of free content. I'm a big believer that you should give away 95% of all of your content away for free. So I give away a lot of free content. So I have a free course, alexdesigns.com/free course. It's basically just an email course that they opt into, and you know, they get a series of emails. I also give away 5 free landing pages. So I have a lot of technical people who come to my website, and I want to give something away that they can't believe that I'm giving it away for free. And I know that it's very unique, because people have always asked me, landing pages has always been one of the biggest content drivers on my website. So people come to my website and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe this guy's giving away 5 free landing pages. So they opt in for that.
Pretty cool, pretty cool. Now, Alex, I wondered if we could shift the discussion a little bit and talk about what it's been like for you to be building a career online as opposed to being in corporate. Because I know that's an issue that a lot of people struggle with. Mm-hmm. I wondered if you could share your own reflection.
Well, I was in corporate for 11 years, and that was 7 years way too long. I'm a designer, an artist. I have a background in drawing and painting. I never ran a business before, so I was scared to leave corporate. And I was there for way too long. But because I was there, I was able to save money and have a little bit better lifestyle than I would if I would have quit earlier. And living a life online is very interesting, because, you know, as we've gone through the dot-com boom and then eventually the recession, you know, in the past, it used to be a lot easier to sell stuff online. And today, it's a lot more challenging. There's a lot more competition. People don't believe any of the claims or trust that you have. So it's completely changed my mindset. It's completely challenged me to always continuously learn. Every time I reach a plateau, I think I know it all. I'm very knocked down to the bottom and realize I have a lot farther to go. So I've really tried to focus, and I've really always done this from the beginning, is take what I've learned online and bring it offline. And that's mainly about networking and relationships. The people that I've met online have been amazing, but they haven't been really as influential to me until I actually met them in person. So I intentionally go to conferences, go to meetups, you know, do public speaking, and really try to meet the people that I've interacted with online.
Interesting. What have been some of the plateaus that you've hit, and how have you overcome them?
Yeah, well, in recent case, you know, cash flow has been an issue for me, because I don't have a lot of, or I guess it's a limiting belief that I don't have a lot of business sense, I guess. But, you know, just managing as an entrepreneur, it's a roller coaster. You know, I do very, very well from October through February. That's like e-commerce explosion time. So I do very, very well. And then all of a sudden the summer hits and I don't get as many leads or I don't get as many clients. So it took me a long time to understand that mindset, to have that abundant mindset that there's going to be more opportunity out there. I just have to keep on pushing through. So for me, I would always start to stress out at a certain plateau. And I realized that if I want to, you know, master my craft, I would have to kind of break through being a stressor and really focus on mastery. And for me, it was about becoming a better communicator, improving my podcast, becoming a better public speaker, being able to pitch and negotiate more lucrative projects for myself, and ensure that I'm able to manage a good team as well. So, you know, getting into really that entrepreneurial mindset and being a successful thinker has really been my focus in the last 2 years.
And are there any tips you can offer about how to relieve the stress or help alleviate it? Because I know that that's a really common theme that I hear from my guests.
Mm-hmm. For me, I need to be on some type of schedule, because if I don't accomplish enough in a certain week, then that's really how it kind of piles up, and I start to freak out at all the stuff I got to do, and then I get analysis paralysis. So for me, it's all about having a good morning routine. I do a little bit of meditation, I do some sketching, some journaling, and I kind of really focus on myself in the morning and then before I actually start my day. And that's really been kind of the difference maker. If I know that I've spent the time to really reevaluate and self-assess myself in the morning, be grateful, understand how much opportunity that I do have, and then just go back and continuously try to reevaluate how I can make my day better. Because it's kind of like a game of basketball to me. You go on these series of runs, and if you're able to really focus on winning the day, accomplishing my main three things, I know that I'm going to get that compound effect, because these little small increments of change that I make are going to build up over time. And that's really how I accomplish so much. I've released 2 books in the last year. I have free courses. I have over 100 episodes of my podcast. So I accomplish a lot in a short period of time. And it's really about those little increments that I make every single day just to continuously tweak my life and make it better. For me, I call it happy progress, making these little small changes, because really the progress that I'm looking for is what makes me happy.
Right, and the progress is focused on long-term success.
Yeah, because over time you're going to get that compound effect, because all of these achievements that we need to celebrate, and I don't celebrate them enough, but that we need to celebrate, they're going to really compound to really accomplish whatever goals that you have.
But you know, it's interesting how entrepreneurs who generally rebel against structure that's imposed from the outside, people like you who've gone from corporate to being an entrepreneur, it's interesting how self-imposed structure is really instrumental to success. And a lot of people who are entrepreneurs and successful entrepreneurs have a very set routine, particularly the beginning of the day routine that kind of sets them on their journey every single day.
Yeah, it really comes down to mindset, because if you sit down at your desk and you have all of these things that you need to get done in your day, you just think about those things, and instead of just acting on them and kind of prioritizing your day, you get that analysis paralysis and you really start to freak out. But if you start to focus on mastery, the mastery of yourself or whatever your craft is, by teaching other people what you know, you're also teaching yourself to accomplish your craft.
It's great advice. Alex, on your journey, what have been some of your influencers, some influencers that have been pivotal in your own career and your own development?
Well, the first one that comes to mind is definitely Gary Vee, Gary Vaynerchuk. He was a big inspiration to me. I met him for the first time in 2007, and he came to Miami. I live down here in South Florida. And he came up and he was speaking at a conference in Miami, and I was just blown away. I was like, who the hell is this guy? And I am going to follow him and figure out why he is so passionate and how he can just change everybody's mind instantly. So, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk has been a major inspiration for me the last 8 years.
That's great. That's a great example. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about some of the stuff you're working on now. What do we have to look forward to from Alex?
Well, yeah, I'm excited. I just released a new book, Small Business, Big Money Online. It's really a combination of the last 15 years of going through inconsistencies in the improvements of the businesses that I help and even my own business, because in the past I really didn't have a rigid system to figure out how to accomplish and improve my my clients' conversion rates. And while many designers kind of focus on just pretty pictures and pretty websites, I really try to really focus on results. And that's what this book is really all about. It's about really understanding that customer mindset and really pulling out insight and not making assumptions about how to really improve it. So I'm really excited about that, Small Business Big Money Online.
That's great. Alex, who do you know personally who is currently doing remarkable work?
Who do I know personally?
Mm-hmm.
I was just recently at a podcast conference, and I had opportunity for the first time to meet someone who I've been following online for a while, and his name is Kamanzi Constable. He is a co-host on the podcast Start the Doubts with Jared Easley. And Kamanzi is amazing writer, amazing inspiration, and he was just recently on Pat Flynn's podcast as well. But Kamanzi really is someone who is genuine. He's really a friend to everybody, and he goes out of his way to really teach people what he's doing. He writes for, you know, Huffington Post and very big places, and he shares all the information that he does to help other entrepreneurs really be successful too. And when I see him influencing so many people, it really inspires me to influence people too.
It's a great example. Alex, how can listeners learn more about you?
Yeah, pretty much everybody knows me online as my Twitter handle, AlexDesigns, and my website's the same thing, and you can check that out, alexdesigns.com.
That's great. Well, Alex, it's been great talking to you about your own journey, about your particular expertise in website conversion, and I'm glad that you took the time to come on Smashing the Plateau today. My guest today has been website conversion marketing specialist Alex Harris. Thank you again, Alex, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. Be sure to visit our website at smashingtheplateau.com and join our email list to hear many more great interviews like this one. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on iTunes by going to smashingtheplateau.com/iTunes. I'm your host, David Schreiner-Kahn, and we'll be talking again soon.